This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. For a lot of people, part of the joy of traveling is the opportunity to try lots of new and interesting foods you'd never come across back home. But then you do get back home, and you're a little disappointed because you can't find those same great foods around here. It's Food Friday. Today, we're going to travel across Europe from the comfort of our own kitchens and bring tastes of France, Italy, Germany, and more right back to our dinner tables. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite European dish you'd like to make? Maybe something that you encountered if you've traveled to Europe, or maybe something that comes from your family, if that's where your heritage lies, or you ran into it at a restaurant. Is this stuff you would make at home? Join in at 800-642-1234. Oh, and do you have that magical food that you had and it was awesome there and you just wish you could make it at home or find it at home? Join in at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. James Shend is a Wisconsin-based food writer, former culinary deputy editor at Taste of Home. He spent a few months dining across Europe earlier this year. He's here to help us recreate some of the best things he tried. James, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks, Rob. I appreciate it.
Now, I don't know if you, as a longtime food writer and editor, when you travel, do you build some of your travel plans on, yeah, I want to try the food there?
Some of my travels? No, all of them.
Yeah. So this, you went on this trip across Europe. What were some of the things on your itinerary? Like, I got to go there to try this.
Well, the crux of the trip was all to visit all of the foreign exchange students that I had hosted over the years.
Oh.
So it was, they just naturally hit all the great food areas. So it was just so much fun. Like I stepped off the plane in Naples. And the first thing we did, we left the airport and immediately went to get some Neapolitan pizza. And it was just outstanding. I'm like, unbelievable how good the pizza is there and how simple it is. It's just incredible.
Let's stay in Naples for a minute. What there's an argument that Naples is the birthplace, I think, of pizza. And it's a little different than maybe what we might encounter here. What was special about some of the pizza you had in Naples?
Well, I think it comes down to the crust. And I'm not sure what they do because I watched them. I talked to a number of chefs. And I think the ingredients they have there is just something so special compared to what we have here. And it's just very light. It's very airy. And they throw it into basically what it tones to a blast furnace. That oven is so hot. It's between like 900 and 1100 degrees. So those pizzas cook in a couple of minutes, if less than that. But what really astounded me is the I've heard of Neapolitan pizza before. But they have something that is even more iconic to that area, and it's basically a deep-fried pizza.
Mm.
And they make their dough as usual and then deep-fry it, and then they top it and serve it. And it's called pizza fritta, and it's everywhere. It's a classic street food that a lot of restaurants there are starting to put into their restaurants. But it's very simple, and it's oh so good.
I'm intrigued by this. I do not have a deep fryer at home, and I don't have a pot big enough, I don't think, for a good-sized pizza crust. Could we? Do you think we could get something like that by, you know, pan-frying a pizza crust, but really on a high heat?
Oh, yeah. I've tried it since I got back home, and I used just a deep cast iron skillet and just some regular pizza dough. I bought it at a local store. I didn't even make my own, and it turned out beautifully. It was a little more chewier than what I had over there. But, I mean, the result was just outstanding.
All right, if I want to really recreate that Naples experience, I fry up my pizza dough. What am I putting on top of it?
So the one I had, it was very, very simple. They just topped it with a fresh tomato sauce, a few sprigs of basil, and then just a very, very light sprinkling of parm. And that was it. It was very simple, but very, very good.
Now, I understand you ate some foods that I might not want to recreate here at home. In Austria, you had lung soup, which is what it sounds like, soup with lung. Now, I respect that. Like, there's, you know, there's a sense that you want to use all of the animal, right? So why not eat the lung? I'm probably not going to do it. What was the experience like?
Well, I was surprised. And because, like, early on in my trip, I learned, don't ask what things are. Just eat it, and then we'll ask later. And so that was the experience here. They served this soup, and I just ate it. And then I asked what it was, and it was sheep's lung. And the texture was very much like a very well-cooked chicken breast, but the color was very gray. It was not an appetizing-looking soup, but the flavor was very good. I enjoyed it. I would have ordered it again.
Now, that's a great sense of adventure. You'll eat the food. You're not sure what it is. I'd probably be a little more timid than that. What would you say to encourage us to leap before we look and try that new and different food?
I know that is a hard thing to get over. I mean, like, it's ingrained when you're a little kid and it kind of just continues on. But to me, it was just like, you've got to suspend it. You've got to try it. And I just kept thinking, thousands of people have eaten this for many, many years. And I'm just like, it's got to be good or people wouldn't have done it. So I just keep going. And I'm like, there are things certainly that I did not like and didn't care for. I'm not a big sea urchin fan. Found that one out. When I was in Paris, escargot, just not my favorite thing. It's just a very chewy thing. But I mean, I think most people go for the garlic butter that they're cooked in. So I'm like, well, it's kind of a trade-off.
Now, apart maybe from that Neapolitan fried pizza, what were some of your other favorite things that you encountered and maybe thought, gosh, it'd be nice to have that at home?
Oh, one of my favorites. I was in Paris and we had something called duck confit. And it's a very classic old dish that was just basically used to preserve the duck. And it was duck legs that had been salted and brined, and then they're cooked very, very slowly by submerging them in duck fat. And then they just pull it off the heat and let it congeal. And then later on, they just pull the duck leg out, fry it, and serve it with potatoes. It is truly one of the best things I've ever eaten in my entire life.
Is that something you've seen, anything like that here in the Midwest? I guess if you go to a French restaurant?
I've seen it at a few French restaurants in Milwaukee and in Madison, and especially in Chicago. I've seen it down there as well. But it's not a very common dish because it does take a lot of duck fat to do. And I think it just kind of turns a lot of people off at how much fat it needs. But I mean, it is so, so good. So I'm trying to like recreate that here. And I had one experiment with chicken legs. That was okay. It wasn't bad. But there's just something about duck that is just exceptional.
Yeah, do you have any rules or methods for when you try something, maybe at a restaurant in another country or even another state where there's a different food tradition, and you try to reverse engineer it and make it on your own? Any tips for people who are trying to do that?
Yeah. I mean, the best advice I ever got was go ahead and ask the chef. And like a lot of times they'll be flattered and they will give you the recipe. I haven't found too many that are like,
really,
nope, that's a secret. They'll give it to you because it's just like they know 9 times out of 10, you're never going to try to make that thing. But they're flattered. And so that is my first go-to is just ask because they'll hand it to you most of the time. And otherwise, it's just like, all right, you kind of take note of what the texture was, what the flavor was, what it looked like. And then you can kind of have Google as your friend, and then you start looking because there's like so many images of these foods online that you're like, okay, that looks closer to what I had than that photo. So I'm going to go in that direction and then kind of go from there.
Talking to James Shend on Food Friday. James is a Wisconsin-based food writer, used to be with Taste of Home. We are getting some inspiration from a culinary tour of Europe that he took. You could join in at 800-642-1234. If there is a favorite European food you've had while traveling there or at a restaurant here, or maybe something your grandparents used to make, join in at 800-642-1234. Or if you have more or less successfully reverse engineered a restaurant meal you've had somewhere, love to hear that success story. 800-642-1234. All right, James, let's get back on your trail here. You were in Norway and you had some Norwegian potato dumplings called, I don't know, is it club or klub? How do we say that? And what are they?
I think it's called klub. And I think it is a holdover from very Norwegian, almost probably like Viking age things. But it's, I can't say that because they didn't have potatoes.
They didn't have potatoes yet. Yep.
But it, you take mashed potatoes and then basically you just add a little bit of egg to them, some flour, and then you form them into a ball and then shove. The one I had reindeer sausage that they put inside it, enclosed it. Then they boiled it in, oddly enough, a reindeer stock that they had made from the bones. And they just let it simmer for about, I think it was about 45 minutes to an hour. And then some of them served it with butter and sugar Others used honey. Others just liked it plain right out of the stock. But it is a, I would very much call this a hearty winter dish. There's nothing light about this thing at all. I mean, it was tasty, but it was not a delicate, like, fluffy kind of food.
And now, reindeer sausage isn't always easy to come by here, I don't think. But have you tried making something like this kluba here at home?
Oh, yeah. And like what the person that was making this for me, she's like, whatever meat I have, I'll use. And it's like, so sometimes she uses ham, sometimes bacon, roasted pork, things like that. It's like whatever she had on hand. But she knew I was this food person and was like, I'm going to try the reindeer sausage. And but then she also made a sheep soup, which had a lot of root vegetables. So there was like turnips and parsnips and things like that. And then three different kinds of sheep in there. One was just fresh, like a fresh roast. And then one was a dried sausage. And then there was one other one I'm not really quite sure I could have identified that.
Let's bring out a caller. Christina is with us in Glenwood. Christina, hi.
Hi there. Thank you. I have two comments. I have a chicken gizzard recipe that is a confit with duck fat, and you can cut that with a fork. It is so delicious, braised in that duck fat. And then the other thing is, regarding trying new or unusual foods, I always do blind taste tests, and it seems like people are more receptive to trying new things and discovering that they actually like them versus looking at it first.
And they obviously trust you, Christina.
Yeah, yes, including my 5-year-old niece. She'll try anything now.
I love it. Thanks a lot for sharing that with us. James, do you want to leave us with some more inspiration along Christina's lines of bringing new foods to ourselves and others?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love to try things. And it's like, that is my profession. I understand I'm kind of more open to things like that. But like what Christine said, it's just like you've got to trust people and try them. Don't ask what they are. And you'll find there's a lot of things you really do enjoy. And so I just was like, go with it. Go with an open mind. Try things. Because a lot of these old time dishes that I'm seeing over in Europe, they're starting to make their way back over here again. Mm. And they're just phenomenal.
Thanks for that call. And James, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you.
That's James Shend, a Wisconsin-based food writer, former culinary deputy editor at Taste of Home. He's with us on Food Friday to share some inspiration from foods around Europe.